so I just want you all to know that that to me it's a very serious, real blessing that I can be your missionary in Mexico, serving Mexicans who do not deserve the gospel, but praise the Lord, God wants to see sinners converted. And praise the Lord, you all have the vision with us that we're going to do something for these people in Mexico. And we've expanded our vision to Poland, and of course we have some part-time missionaries, and I mean we support them partly in all kinds of countries, but this is a vision, and it's a very important vision, and it's a vision that's important to God. And I am pleased and happy and proud to be a part of it. And I'm thankful to you all who's been faithful so many years praying for us, and we do need prayer. Praying for us. I hope you all get a chance to look at the slideshow we've got out on the table. I don't know if all of you have seen it. But we just took some pictures of the people who have been won to the Lord. Not all of them, but a group of people, a bunch of people in the different churches that have been won to the Lord through our ministries, and that's through your gifts and through your ministries and your prayer and what have you. And I don't know if it touches you the same way, just like when Norm and Fran stood up and showed the pictures of their two converts. You know. Man, these are two people. These are two souls. They were on the road to hell. Now they're on the road to heaven. Well, you know, we've got a number of people too that were on the road to hell. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know sound doctrine. They didn't have. They'd never read the Bible. They didn't know. But some nut stood out on their street and hollered at the top of his lungs, "Tell them the gospel," and now they're saved. They're different. They're changed. Their whole life is changed. Their whole future, their destiny, it's a difference. What a difference a day makes. Yeah. And that difference has been made in hundreds of people. And there are some pictures of them. I hope you get a chance to look at them and see that these people, you're going to see them in heaven. And they're changed because of you. You probably never meet them in this life, but they're changed because of your faithfulness and because every year we do this mission conference thing, you know, that seems like a burden sometimes, but no, this is what it's all about. This is life. Acts chapter 23. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to bless the word tonight. I ask you to bless the thoughts. Bless our spirits, Lord. Bless these that hear, that you make them receptive and understand. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Make us have the right attitude and the right spirit. Lord, touch us this week. We ask for your blessing, your presence, your move upon our lives. We ask you to do mighty things, Lord, through us in this future, Lord, that we're setting up to prepare for now. We ask you just to bless us. Ask in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 23, verse 24. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. I'm sorry, 22. Acts chapter 22, verse 24. That would have worked better if I'd got that right the first time. All right, I read 24. It wasn't that important to the message anyway, so I'm going to start at 25. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had found him. Paul said, "I'm a Roman citizen. You've tied me up, uncondemned. You had no right to do that. I have rights. I'm a Roman citizen." And the captain said, "You're a Roman citizen?" This was surprising to the captain. Apparently not very many people that the captain picked up off the street were Roman citizens. It must have been a fairly rare privilege. But he was a Roman citizen. And they immediately departed from him, backed away from him, and said, "Oh my, we're in trouble." And even the chief captain, whoever this man is, he's fairly important, obviously, but he came in there scared, afraid. Just the man that was going to scourge him said, "You better be careful, this man's a Roman citizen." Obviously, this was a tremendous privilege, a tremendous gift given to Paul from the day that he was born, and Paul probably never realized how important it was until this day. Privilege given to Paul. Think about Paul being such a privileged person. An apostle. An apostle who had this special privilege to the point that nobody could beat him without going through a certain system of regulations or rules or whatever it was that they had to do. Obviously, they had messed it up. They didn't go through it. They didn't get the deposition, and they didn't get the witnesses and the testifying, and they didn't get the judge to okay the warrant, and they didn't do whatever it was they had to do to get to have the right to take Paul and just beat him. And Paul said, "I was freeborn." Paul was special. Obviously, Paul was special. The way he was chosen was special. There's something special about Paul. You know, Paul says over there in Galatians chapter 1, he said, "God separated me from my mother's womb." And I don't think that means that he was just separated physically from his mother at birth. I think what that means is the same thing he says, he uses the same word over there in Romans chapter 1, that God separated him unto the gospel of God. And another place over there in Acts chapter 13, you remember what God said, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've given unto them." That's what the separating, he says, God separated me from my mother's womb. He was freeborn. He had privilege. He had things given to him that most of us would not have had given to us had we lived in that day. And these were given to him, had nothing to do with his deserving, had nothing to do with his labors, his intelligence, had nothing to do with anything except given to him from birth. You stop and think about other privileges Paul had. He was a Jew. That's a privilege itself. My goodness. The Jews, I don't know if you understand, but if you read the Bible in the plain grammatical sense of the Bible, the Jews are a special people. Now, I know there's a lot of theories going around now that they're not the special people, and that signifies this, and they spiritualize a lot of these things. But I read the Bible just as plain and grammatical as I can see it, and I understand it, to say that these Jews physically are God's people. Jews naturally. And God has not cast away His people. Amen. They hate Him. They've despised Him. They've done wicked, terrible things to Him. They are not now saved. They are a generation that is cursed. They are a disobedient and gainsaying people. These people are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and in mind. These people are not saved. They're not Christians. And God still loves them. In a special way. And God is protecting him. God is doing all... This man is a Jew. I don't know how much I can say that Paul received because he was a Jew, but obviously this was a tremendous privilege in itself, just being a Jew, and he's also a Roman. And you know, apparently Paul was fairly wealthy. His parents were fairly wealthy also, because he was sent away to go to boarding school in Jerusalem. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel, who taught in Jerusalem. He was right there in Jerusalem. One of the elders in Jerusalem, one of the members of that important council, when they were chastising or scourging Peter and the rest of the apostles, and he was the one who gave the wisdom that says, you know, if this be of God, we can't do anything against it. Just let him go. Let's find out what happens with it. All right, this is Gamaliel. Paul studied at the feet of Gamaliel, and yet his parents were from Tarsus. So, obviously, his parents had some money to be able to send him there. And you know, this man had some political influence. I assume that back in those days, political influence was also received by knowing somebody. Just like in Mexico. I mean, you know somebody, you'll get a decent job in the government. Because you know somebody, or your uncle knows somebody, or that's the way things happen. I'm pretty sure it happens right here in the United States, too. You know, we can talk about, you know, we got a fair society or what have you, but I'm pretty sure that there's a whole lot goes on just the same exact way that it's gone on since time began. Well, obviously, this man had an in with the biggest shots in the whole Jewish community. This man was an up-and-coming politician. This man got letters from the chief priests. He knew them all. He was standing there as if he was in some place of importance and recognition when they stoned and killed Stephen. He held their coats. And as soon as he turned 30 years old, bang, he got authority. He was sent here and he was sent there. He was actually scourging Christians. He was persecuting them. It says he put them in jail. Just not anybody can just go and say, okay, you're going to jail. This man was important. Obviously, this man was privileged. This man had so much more than any of his contemporaries. And the chances are, he thought it was because he was deserving. You know, there's a couple of things I need to mention about privilege. One is there's a mistake people make in thinking that privilege is wrong, that it's unfair to have anything. It's not fair for God to give one person more than He gives another person. Is it unfair? There's nothing unfair. If God wants to give one person more than He gives someone else, that's not unfair. God is God. You know, nowadays there is a wicked spirit, a wicked attitude in the United States. Matter of fact, there's a wicked attitude all over the world that honestly thinks that that's not fair, that they have two automobiles and I have none. Well, why is that not fair? Where did God promise you an automobile? You don't deserve an automobile just because you exist. Well, somebody says, well, it's not fair that that man's parents were billionaires and they give their sons all this money. And I remember the story about, I don't know who it was, the elder Hunt that made all the money, I guess in oil or whatever, and he was dividing up his money, all his money between his sons, and one of his younger sons, started investing in, I don't know what, I think it was silver. I mean, he bought up silver, trying to corner the market, I don't know, made a big gamble on it, started spending money, and then the government changed the rules on him and did some things, and the silver started tumbling in the money, and this man was losing $1 million a week or something of that nature. And some reporter comes up to him and says, what do you think about your son squandering all your money, losing $1 million a week? And the elder Hunt said, got his calculator just. Well, the way I see it, he's going to be out of business in about 150 years. Does that sound fair to you? Man could lose $1 million a week and not go out of business in his lifetime? Well, that just don't sound fair, does it? You personally think that's not right for God to give them so much and give you so little. It's in our mind. That's basically just communism. It's just plain, outright communism. It's covetousness all the way down to the roots of your soul. It's covetousness that you say, I want because they have. They have, I want. I see, I want. Covetousness. It's a wicked sin. It's a terrible, wicked sin. You ought to repent of it. You shouldn't want what somebody else has. Now, if you go driving by and there's this big old sign up there that says, the lotto is $16 million. Do you want that money? Do you want that money? I mean, if somebody gave you a lotto ticket and it won, would you take the money? Sure you would, wouldn't you? Come on. Yeah, tithe on it. Covetousness, that's all it is. Covetousness. Why in the world do you want that money? That money would destroy you. It would destroy your family, destroy your children to the third and fourth generation. you would be ruined. That money is a curse. But you want it. Covetousness. Let me tell you something. Privilege is not wrong. God gives who what He wants to give. Some people get all the good looks. Some people get all the brains. Some people get musical talent. Some people have a tremendous intellectual ability to do math. Some people are tall. Some people aren't so tall. You know, it's not our, it has nothing to do. We have no right to complain. Who are we to say what God's going to give us? God gives us what we want. If He wants you to be rich, He'll make you rich. If He wants you to be poor, He'll make you poor. The truth is, we got to get out of our head that privilege is wrong. God had every right to give more to Paul than He gave to Peter. And God gave more to Paul than He gave to Peter. Paul was a tremendously privileged apostle, Christian. Another mistake people make is thinking that privilege is deserved. I can see Paul thinking that the reason why he was in his position of authority was because he deserved it. I can see that. I can see the Pharisees thinking that they were more righteous than the next one. Do you ever think that way? You ever thought that perhaps maybe the prosperity that you enjoy might be because you deserve it? Let me tell you something. Prosperity is not deserved. Paul didn't get all this stuff because he was better than anybody else. There's a third mistake that people make in thinking that prosperity, not only is prosperity fair, that God can give privilege to certain people and it's absolutely fair and not give anything to others, that He can have poor people in China have no shoes, barely any clothes, don't have a pig in the backyard, don't have a refrigerator, don't have a phone, don't have electricity, barely have a mud hut that they raised up with their own hands, and that's all they've got, and we can live in nice houses and drive automobiles. Is that fair? Yeah, that's fair. Not only that, but it's not deserved. Not only that, my mind just went blank on me. I got a third point here. Found it. That privilege is for us. That's a mistake. When you stop and think that privilege is just for you. It was given to you for your convenience. It was given to you for your luxury. It was given to you, given to Paul, given to whoever has this privilege, just because God wants to see you smile. You know, a lot of times that's exactly how we act, isn't it? Privilege, and we think it's because God just wants us to be happy. Sometimes I wonder why God blesses me so much. And I think it must be because He likes to see me happy. Or maybe it's because He doesn't want anybody else to feel sorry for me. Maybe it's about me. That's a mistake a lot of people make. Now, Paul was a privileged Christian. Paul knew it. He was separated from his mother's womb. It had nothing to do, after he got saved, I'm sure he knew it, had nothing to do with his own desert, what he deserved, had nothing to do with his own ability or his own doing. He also realized it was not for him. He also realized that this privilege was for a reason. And he used this tremendous privilege to the best of his ability, at least the best I can tell, according to the witness not only of himself in all his letters, but the witness of others, including Peter, including Luke, including others, that mention this Paul and how he acted and how he lived, demonstrating that this privilege that he received, not only just being a Jew and being rich and being important, but being a Roman citizen and all these things that were given to him from the time that he was born, he recognized that they were from God and that they were not just for him, but that they were a responsibility. A tremendous responsibility. Now, I assume you know where I'm going with this. I want to say that everybody in this room is more privileged than Paul. More. You've got more. The day you were born, you got more. I just want to mention three things. That you got more than Paul, at least in three ways. First of all, I want to say, you got so much privilege, at least more than anybody else in all the world, in so many ways, that you got it in your person. Your person. You've got things in your person that so many other people all over the world have never enjoyed, and people before us have never enjoyed. I'm talking about education, your person, what you have received. I'm talking about gifts, the gift of understanding. Did you know that you understand things that nobody understood 50 years ago? You didn't deserve it. You were given it. It was just given to you. It's just blasted on television. You know that the earth is round. There were people a long time ago who didn't have a clue that the earth was round. This wasn't something you got out there and did your figures and did your calculations and measurements. It was just given to you, wasn't it? You have things given to you in your person. Some of you have tremendous gifts. Some of you know more than one language. Some of you have tremendous personal ability, education, intellect. So many things given to you that Paul never had a clue, never had a chance. You've got more, just in your person. I think of sound doctrine. Now you say, well, Paul knew more sound doctrine than us. I don't know about that. Paul said he knew in part. He didn't know what Peter knew. He didn't know what was given to other people, James, the other apostles. He only knew what was given to him, and he preached what was given to him, but he knew in part. We have the entire Bible. We not only have the entire Bible, we have it all. Every single book of the Old Testament and every single book of the New Testament, we have it all together. In one book, and we can read it and understand it. We not only have that, we have cross-referencing that you cannot believe in almost every single one of your Bibles. Not only do I have the Bible in my hand, I have the cross-references there that tell me where this was quoted. Every single place that something similar is mentioned, I cannot believe the value just of the center cross references in this.
And a calculator to find it.
And a calculator to find it. If you open that computer, you'll find computer concordances that will let you search out in so many different possible ways and delve, and you see so much. You know something? Not only that, you have a tremendous background of people who have studied more than Paul. I mean, I'm talking about people who were tremendously gifted. We're talking about people that were so intelligent. I'm reading this book by a guy named George Peters. He's a Lutheran back in the 1800s. This man, you know, I don't agree with everything he said, but this man was gifted. This man had a mind on him to see all the different possibilities. You think about somebody like C.I. Schofield or J.N. Darby or people who were so deep, so could see so many things that could understand. I guarantee you that Paul did not understand all that they understood. They had been given so much more. Paul was given revelation. Many revelations. John was given the book of Revelation and other things, and James and all these, but they didn't have the means to put them together. We have more doctrine, more sound understanding of everything that was written. We have it all, and it's all at our fingertips. You know, you don't even have to spend a lot of money on a huge library. I bought all the major important reference works, including all the works of John Wesley and Jonathan Edwards and all the works of John Calvin and all the works of Martin Luther. Just about everybody you can imagine, I bought it for $10 on a CD. I can read it all. Anytime I want. I don't have time, but I've got it there. I got an Encyclopedia Britannica. I got an Encyclopedia Americana. I got a Cambridge Encyclopedia. I've got so much at my fingertips. I, as a person, have so much more than Paul. Privilege. We are privileged because of our nation, our person, our nation. I don't know if you've stopped and thought about it, but you are an American. And if I had the choice between being a Roman back then and an American now, I'd choose American any day. I'm an American. You know, being an American is special. We're an American because of our heritage. We are special, tremendously privileged. Did you know that the Mayflower Compact, which was the forerunner of nearly all of our legal documents in the United States, that was the forerunner of the colonies, the rights and the bills of rights that they gave, and then eventually our Bill of Rights that came out of all of these things, came from pilgrims. I'm talking about believers. People like you and me that believe the Bible. These were solid Christians. I'm talking about, we're saying that the United States was founded upon principles that no other nation in all of history was ever. Do you realize that democracy itself, what we understand of as democracy, was invented right here in this country? Who was a democracy? Where was a democracy before the United States came into being? Oh yeah, you'll hear the Swiss say, "Oh, we had a democracy back in when there was the feudal states back in." Oh, give us a break. Or somebody will say, "Well, there was experiments in democracy back in Athens." Give us a break. These things were not experiments in democracy. I mean, they might have had some sense of where all the people got together and voted on some issue, but I'm talking about a workable federal possibility where we have an actual democracy where we actually rule ourselves. This was given to us by God into our nation. What other people on earth have had such a blessing just by being American? You know, I know nowadays political correctness and all that, and I'm always arguing with my kids about, you know, they think the Indians are great. They're really super, you know. And these Indians, they were, you know, wonderful people or what have you. But let me tell you something. If you actually had to live with those Indians, you wouldn't be on their side today. I've worked with Indians. I've worked with them. I've preached in their towns. I've preached in their cities. The Indians now are a lot richer than the Indians back then. But boy, I've been right there in their huts. I've sat down right with them. I've sat there and preached to them. I've heard their languages. Man, that's a bear of a language to try to learn. These Indians did not have anything over those pilgrims that came over. Now, maybe we did something wrong. Maybe we did them wrong. I'm not saying that Americans. Matter of fact, you ought to stop and think about what we said already, that you don't want to make this mistake. That to think that Americans are blessed because we're better than anybody else. We've done a lot of wrong. And as a nation, we cannot say, "Well, that wasn't me, it was them." No, we are Americans. We are America. We're not going to deny who we are. I remember that some of the preachers back in the old days when they were making this Constitution, they refused the Constitution because it was a compromise with hell. Our Constitution that we still have was a compromise with hell because it accepted slavery. It acknowledged slavery. These were preachers, God-fearing men, that stood up and said, "That is a compromise with hell and we'll have nothing to do with it." We can't stand and say we are blessed because we're right, or we're good, or we're better than anybody else. How are we making this mistake? How is it that we think that because of our nation that we have the right to have all of this? Or that we have the rights to these privileges, that these privileges are for us? The fact is that we, because we're American, think about the community that we have being American. Did you know that the United States is approximately 30% evangelical? 30%? Do you have any concept of how much that is? Political power? Evangelicals? This is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Mexico, all total, has about 5.4% or something of that nature. And in the area that we are preaching in, the old traditional side of Mexico, it's between probably around 2% now, 1 to 2%, something of that nature. Evangelicals. And of course, evangelicals includes a whole lot of wackos that aren't Christians, but whatever. At least it's a way to understand the privilege that we have just because we're Americans. Just because God said, "I'm going to bless these people. This is going to be the greatest nation that ever lived." And I know politicians like to say that, but I tell you, I actually believe that with all my heart. The greatest nation that has ever lived We are living in it right now. The United States. You know, we have more ability to go anywhere in the world than Paul ever thought of having. It was time for us to go to Poland. He said, we're going to go to Poland and find out what's going on. We tried to apply in Mexico City. No. Polish embassy doesn't give Mexicans the right to go to Poland. Mexicans can't go to Poland. They got to have all kinds of special things to be able to go to Poland. We couldn't go to the embassy in Mexico City to go to Poland. We had to go to the one in Los Angeles to get our visas to go to Poland. We couldn't do it. Why? Because Polish people don't want Mexicans over there. But they don't mind Americans. You know what we did when we found out? We actually called up the one place in Los Angeles and did all this stuff. They said, oh, you're American. Yeah, we're American. Well, you don't need a visa. Just go on over there. We showed up there with our passports. They said, okay, fine. 3 months. Come on in. Just because we're American. Let me tell you something. Americans are more privileged than Roman citizens ever thought about having. What about world dominance? You know, the Romans owned the whole world, right? And in their dreams, they had, you know, I guess they owned the whole world that was important to them, but they probably didn't have, I'm serious, that's the way they thought about it. I guess the whole world that had an inkling of what Latin meant. There was a whole bunch of people out there that the Romans had no idea. They had no way of dominating. Can you imagine the Romans trying to dominate the Incas? Can you imagine them thinking they had dominance over the entire world? Yet they did. They never conquered China. They never conquered Japan. They couldn't. It was too far. It was too much. But they said they had the whole world, the great Roman Empire. Let me tell you something. The English Empire was greater than the Roman Empire ever thought about being. It was greater. Actually, some people might say it was part of it. But whatever you want to say, we now, in this day and age, have more dominance over the entire world through the economy, through the industry, through our military, through our political influence all over the world. We are the modern Roman citizen multiplied over and over and over again. We have the privilege. Third way, our generation. This generation. I want to go to Poland. I paid $800. Walked into the airport. Handed them that little ticket they gave me. They sent me in the mail. Got on the airplane. 11 hours later, I was in Poland. What would it take in Paul to get to Poland? I don't think Paul made it to Poland. We can go anywhere. What about phones? What about somebody like Adoniram Judson who went, said bye, and just went, and 50 years later shows back up? Hey, where are all my friends? 50 years later? Come on. William Carey, gone. Takes them 3 months to get there. They're not going to turn around and come back for the holidays. They're just gone. They're out there. What I'm telling you is that Paul was privileged for a reason. And it just goes to reason that we are privileged for a reason.
Amen.
It goes to reason that God has given Americans something that He's never given any other nation on earth in all of history. Our person, our generation, our nation is so tremendously blessed with such tremendous high blessing, such wealth, such prosperity, such knowledge, such understanding. What about in the sense of your person, what you have received in this ascent? What you have, the ability to understand the church and how it works, and the actual opportunity to be a missionary. Might take you a couple months to finish the classes, I don't know. Man, what other place has that? When I surrendered to be a missionary, I suppose they worried about it a little bit, but they said, he's called, he's got this, he's got these studies, he fulfills this, go. And they just sent me. And you know, I didn't have to go on deputation. I went and preached at a couple of places, and they withdrew the support they were already sending. What can you say? What I'm saying is, the Lord just said, here, you've got all this possibility.
Amen.
Now, Paul didn't squander. But I wonder whether we're squandering. I wonder if God hasn't given us so much and we're sitting back saying, well, this is pretty nice. I got money in my bank account. I got a passport that'll send me anywhere in the world. I've got internet courses that'll teach me any language in the world. Any language. Almost every language that has any documentation whatsoever, that if it has one written letter in that language, we've got people that can tell us how to speak. Opportunities. Wealth that has never been imagined in all of history. Not by the wealthiest king. Solomon had no clue. All he could get from Africa were a few apes and some targum trees or whatever those almug trees or whatever those things are. That's what he sent off for. Sent ships over there to get gold from Ophir. Man, we're digging 5 miles straight down. We pull out diamonds the size of marble. We pull out of these wealthy mines. We have so much. Can you imagine? You know, I think about the amount of money that goes into our military when they talk about this smart bomb. Bam, and it blows up. How much did that bomb cost? $23 billion. You're kidding me. You're kidding me. What are we talking about here? They send out a telescope into outer space. Sit with our money. Send it out into outer space that takes pictures thousands of times brighter or better than what they had before. And this thing cost how many billions of dollars? Wealth that you cannot imagine. And yet we think, first of all, we think that it's for us. Or we think it's deserved. Isn't that incredible? Do we think it's for us? Do we honestly think that God gave us all this blessing just so we'd enjoy our lives? Is it possible that God would say, you know, I just love Americans so much that I want them all to be blessed. Because our forefathers were such righteous persons, so I'm going to bless them, their eighth and ninth generation, with so much money, they don't know what to do with it. Have you ever seen a garage sale? You ought to go to garage sales just to observe people and what they buy. You ought to go to my garage and see what I buy. It's incredible what we have and what we think God gave us this money for. You ought to go to Dale's house. I remember one time, we never let him live it down, but I remember one time I went to his house and I saw a new toolbox. Ah, Dale, you got yourself a new toolbox. Yeah. I opened it up. It was chock full, all the way full of Phillips screwdrivers. That's all it had, Phillips screwdrivers. I said, what do you need so many screwdrivers for? He said, well, they were on sale for $1. And you know something? If he did that for all the rest of his life, he'd still have money left over. That's just the way we are. That's what we have. That's what God has given us. You know, I am convinced, first of all, that God did not give us our prosperity, our nation, our passports, the internet, phone, international banking. You know, when I went to Mexico, we couldn't hardly get a check cash. We couldn't get money down there. We wound up doing business with some pretty shady folks because they were willing to take our check. Talk about money laundering. I was innocent. I did not know anything about it until the police surrounded the place. I thought it was kind of strange they pulled out wads of money they could barely hang on to. But that's the only way we could get money. I remember many times we'd get in the car, in the truck, and drive all the way to the border to get money. Now, I take out my ATM card, go right up to the bank, like about two blocks from my house, stick it in there, and get out my money right out of my bank. In pesos. Pop it out, it's already deducted exactly in pesos, and I get a good rate. What I'm saying is, God didn't give us this to squander it. He didn't give it to us so that we could spend our weekends in Acapulco. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong to enjoy what God has given you. And I don't think our wealth is our greatest blessing. I think on a scale of 1 to 10, it's barely above zero. Barely above zero, our wealth. As a matter of fact, I'm not speaking in respect of want or desire. I honestly do not believe that I need more money than I'm receiving already. I honestly don't believe that. I feel very guilty by how I squander what I've got. I'm not like Willie, whose ministry requires great amounts of money just to keep functioning. My ministry doesn't require that. I just need enough to pay my rent, just to buy the food and pay for the gasoline. That's all I need. And then we go out and preach, and we purposely built a ministry so that we have no reason. You all know that if you receive my letters I send out once or twice or three times a year, whatever, you know that not once in 25 years have I ever asked anybody for anything. I've never even asked for prayer that God would provide something. Because I don't believe that that's what we need. But I certainly believe that God gave us that much for some reason. For some reason. I certainly believe that God gave us our nation and its worldwide dominance for some reason. I think that reason is exactly what this mission conference is about. I believe that the one reason why all of our neighbors live in nice homes with two-car garages, air conditioning, and have a television in every single room, and the entire house is carpeted. And they have... I was in the airplane going to San Diego to watch Donnie. You know, I've only been in the airplane about five or six times, and so Debbie just doesn't want to sit by the window anymore, because if she sits by the window, I'm leaning over her the whole time, you know. To me, it's a real experience. But I'm looking out, and I see all these towns, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, and Debbie's saying, please, Bill, you know, sit down over there, or let's wait, trade places, or whatever. We flew over Phoenix. I started looking at all these housing divisions, and nearly every single one had a swimming pool in the backyard. Incredible. I don't have a swimming pool in my backyard. That's not fair. Right? I can't believe it. You know, I believe God has showered us with such abundance, but not so that they can enjoy it. And I'm glad they've got it, and I'm glad they can enjoy it. But I believe He's done that just so that Christians would have what it takes to fulfill their commission. I believe that God did that so that we as Americans could evangelize the world. Now, that doesn't let the rest of the world off the hook. But we have to preach this a little bit different in Mexico. And I preached in Mexico this very message about privilege, and they've got some pretty good privileges themselves. But I've also preached in a different way about this, because most of the people in Mexico don't have what we have. I mean, they're not even close. They cannot even imagine how much a skilled laborer up here makes. They don't even imagine. It just does not enter into their head. I've actually gone into their homes and lived in their homes and spent time with them. And the way I've preached it in Mexico is I'm saying, you people don't want to be missionaries because you want to hold on to this stuff. This furniture is what you're afraid of losing? Seriously, it's pressed wood. They got it used from a junkyard somewhere, and it's falling apart, and they've got it taped together or wired together and a brick on top so the top don't fall off. And they're afraid of losing it. Now, we Americans have a little bit more to lose, don't we? Retirement, career, a little bit more to lose. It's a little bit harder to let go the more you got, isn't it? But if you understand why God gave us all this, then you've got to make a decision not to squander. If God gave you the ability to travel to almost any nation on earth, don't you think that God might be a little bit upset if you squander that ability? God gave you enough money to tithe, double tithe, support missionaries all over the world. Do you realize that your tithe probably would be enough to give full-time support to 5 or 6 Mexican national pastors? Incredible. People who live in Guatemala live it on $60 a month. And yet look what God has given us. Now, we can sit back and say, well, that's not right that God expects that much of us. Oh, yes, it is. And that's basically the only reason I can imagine God giving us this much. I happen to know we don't deserve it. I know in my own mind I don't deserve it. I don't deserve this kind of wealth. I don't deserve this kind of privilege. I can walk into Poland and my Mexican brothers can't. I can just cross the border with a birth certificate and the Mexicans got to crawl under the wire and swim across the river. They can't do it legally. They can't just walk in. We have such tremendous privilege, and I'm afraid that we as Americans, and perhaps we even in this church, are squandering all of our resources that God has given us in order to win souls these few years in this last generation before He comes again, and it's too late to win souls for the rest of eternity. This is our chance. This is what God has given us, and this is the reason He gave it to us. And if it requires a step of faith that you say, the only reason God has given me such privilege is to use it in His service, that's a step of faith you ought to make. I don't care if it changes your life for the rest of your life and you live in a poverty-stricken nation somewhere preaching the gospel to somebody that doesn't care, that doesn't love you, that doesn't want you. If that's what it requires, it's because the faith says, God did not give me this for me to just enjoy. God gave it to me for me to use, for me to spend, and spend wisely, so that I can see somebody get saved, which is the only thing, apparently, that God is interested in a sense of profit. God's not out to spread democracy. God's not out to spread the American way of life. And heaven help us if the only Christianity Muslims ever know is what they see on television. Or if the only Christianity ever know is Catholicism. Wicked, godless religion. If that's the only Christianity they see. Oh my. What a terrible, terrible statement about America. What a terrible statement about 30% evangelicals in America. I know that England ought to be doing its share, and Sweden ought to be doing its share, and Germany ought to be doing its share, but they're not doing their share. So it's up to us. And who else? Who else? Who else should do it? Don't we have more than Germany? Don't we have more than England? Don't we have more than all of these other supposedly Christian nations? Oh, we have much more. We have so much more that it's incredible. And we... perhaps. We as Americans, I know, are squandering. Perhaps we even in this church are squandering. Perhaps there's some that are squandering a true personal ability. Some of you know 2 languages. Ain't that true? God just gave it to you the day you were born. Gave you 2 different cultures, gave you 2 languages, nothing to use. Some of you got a real ability to learn. Some of you got a real ability to adapt to culture. Some of you like almost anything anybody sets before you. You can eat it. Isn't it squandering it? If God gave you these abilities, squandered it not to use it for the gospel's sake? Isn't it squandering your education if that education would get you an in into almost any country in the world as a tent-making missionary? Isn't that squandering it? Isn't that throwing away what God has given you, the option, the opportunity and the ability to see souls saved somewhere else? I believe with all my heart that God has given us all of these tremendous privileges for us to use for the gospel's sake. And I believe that someday we're going to stand before God and give an account to God for every dime we spend and for every minute of our time that we spent, whether it's wasting it watching television or playing golf. We're going to have to give an account of every single thing we've done with such tremendous privilege given to us the day we were born. God gave it to us for a reason, and we ought to use it for that reason. Amen.